Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Christmas is supposed to be a message of joy. The Christians are supposed to be joy-filled people. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I quite often say like this, "The joy of knowing the Lord is my strength." Because I can have joy in a whole lot of things, but the joy of knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior, knowing that God loves me, knowing that the Holy Spirit empowers me and leads me, brings joy, brings me strength, brings me hope, brings me future, because joy is part of God's gift to mankind. Amen? We're here to celebrate the birth of God's only Son. That's what Christmas is about. The gathering of saints, the gathering of people to celebrate the not just the birth of Jesus, but the birth of God's Son. We number our calendars based on His birth. Anno Domini, before the birth. After birth, sorry, BC, before Christ. And you know, the world system tried to change that not that many years ago. But we base our calendar on the fact that we celebrate that Jesus was born and He came to live on planet Earth as the Son of Man. When He came into ministry as the Son of God. And He's here to bring joy into the lives of people. Amen? So without the birth of Jesus, what year would it be today? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Suppose Jesus had not come. Let me just remind you of a few points. Suppose there had been no manger scene, no star in the east, no angel melody, no awestruck shepherds. Then there would be no Sermon on the Mount, no reason to love your neighbor, no reconciling cross, no empty tomb, no empowering Holy Spirit, no community caring, no Salvation Army, no world relief, no food for the hungry. If Jesus had not come, our thinking about God will still be from a fractured, unrelated, religious following. God's love would remain forever unknown. Have you ever wondered? If God hadn't loved us so much that He sent His Son, if Jesus had been so rebellious and never came, where would we be? If Jesus had not come, there would be no Handel's Messiah. There would be theology without Christology. There would be servanthood for the sake of just selfish gain. There would be sin running rampant without a redeemer. Death without a destroyer. Heaven without an assurance. So much in that package of God sending His Son to be born unto us. If you've got your Bibles this morning, let's just go quickly to Luke chapter 2. Somebody said this morning, we don't bring our Bibles to church on Christmas Day. I asked for a scripture reference to that. Chapter and verse. All else fails, open up your phone. Surely you've got a Bible on your phone. I know I spoke a few weeks ago, it was only a couple of weeks ago, on the shepherds, and they all struck amazement about the announcement of Jesus coming. And I just want to look at a few verses in that this morning and just get a grasp of what it means when God says through an angel to common shepherds, joy. So let's pick up in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to 11. And I'm reading from the Amplified, loud and clear. And in that vicinity there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. I bring to you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people." The King James Version, the most accurate English version, says, "And the angel said to them," verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." Well, great joy can mean a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people in a whole different range of situations and circumstances. But let's read on and see what this great joy is about. The very next verse says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." What great joy that would have brought to these shepherds out there watching the flocks by night. I'm a bit of a researcher. I love looking into history. I love looking into community and culture and all that sort of thing. And I've always understood that the shepherds were quite a lowly breed of workmen, that nobody really wanted to be a shepherd. It just didn't sit well. If you didn't have a job to do, well, you could always be a shepherd. You could always go out and watch sheep at night time eating the grass. And if a bear comes, you could always risk your own life and fight the bear or the lion or whatever it is. But you know, as you do research, well, as I do research, I find out even a little bit more about shepherds, to even put them a little bit lower on the social standing. You see, shepherds were watching somebody else's sheep. They weren't usually their own sheep. It was a job. Nobody wanted to do it. It was dirty, smelly, hot, away from family, gone for days, struggling to find feed sometimes, struggling to find fresh water. But they were renowned sometimes to be robbers of sheep. So they might be at the local watering hole and they see this prime ram and they just quietly sneak it off. Once upon a time there was a man sitting by a billabong. Along came a jumbuck and he grabbed it with glee. A little bit story like Waltzing Matilda. And even though all the shepherds weren't like that, how many know that sometimes if a group does something, everyone within that broader group gets branded with the same name? So here's these shepherds sitting out there talking amongst themselves, probably having a bit of a chat about life and how do I end up being a shepherd and all those sort of things. And lo and behold, of all people to come to, the angel of the Lord comes to these men who are doing the most lowly of lowly jobs and are branded as sheep stealers and dishonest people and all sorts of names. And they say that the angel says to them, "I bring you good news of great joy." Well, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting out in the middle of nowhere watching sheep as a living, great joy would be good news to hear on any day, any night, any time. Amen? But the angel just didn't say, "Well, you've got to go to Bethlehem to get that great news of good joy." The angel actually announced to them what was going on. And it says this, verse 10 again. I just want to instill this into us. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy which will come to all the people, for to you. Who is the angel talking to? The government, the religious leaders, the rich and prosperous, the middle class. God sends an angel to announce the arrival of his son to planet Earth, to the lowest of low people, for good news for them. For unto you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Wow. Comes to anyone. He doesn't come to a somebody. He actually comes to a nobody in this case and proclaims the greatest news, the greatest bit of history that anyone could have. There was a song written way back in, I'll just get my year right, 1867. Anyone around 1867? No hands. And the man visiting was a pastor from Boston called Philip Brooks. And it was Christmas time and he was in the middle of the Holy Land. He comes back from the Holy Land and he's so filled with the joy of seeing Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And he writes a Christmas carol and he gets his choir director to write the music to it, ready for a Christmas concert that following year. The song is this, and I won't sing it and spoil your day. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. 1867. Bethlehem was still a tiny little, why would you go there, town. Bethlehem is called the City of David. Why is it called the City of David? Because David grew up there. The greatest king that ever has been in existence over Israel was born in Bethlehem. He was raised there with his dad and his seven brothers. So God chooses this place. And even 700 years before the Lord's born, Micah, in the book of Micah, like we read yesterday, predicts that the Savior will be born in Bethlehem, the place of David's birth. Now listen to what he says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. 700 years BC, before Christ, our little man Micah that we talked about yesterday morning prophesies that out of this little town, out of this unknown dot on planet Earth, heard good news. How often in their life and the times would their life just be humdrum, ordinary? And they come. The angels come and the angelic hosts sing over them. And they rise and they go to Bethlehem to see what this story is all about. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Let's focus on those three words. Born this day. Lots of babies would have been born that day right across planet Earth. God chooses this little place called Bethlehem. He chooses this virgin Mary and overshadows her with the Holy Spirit, and she becomes pregnant with child. That's a miracle. God would choose something simple, someone ordinary, someone who just is disregarded by so many people. And she carries that child in her womb like any mother on earth would do for the 9-month period. Nothing supernatural, nothing ordinary about that. And then God comes to these ordinary men and brings them news. Not just ordinary news, but good news of great joy. Holy Spirit always has his place to play. I love this quote the other day that I read. And it talked about how unordinarily normal what God does and how he uses ordinary people is truly amazing. He talks about the climax of this verse in verse 11, and he talks about a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's interesting that in the Greek text it says it like this: Savior, Christ, Lord. Doesn't say it, he is our Savior. He doesn't say the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Simply in the Greek text, the three words together, Savior, Christ, Lord. Let's look at that first word, Savior. It's an Old Testament word, which means one who delivers his people. This message has just come to the lowest of low. Men who are just out there doing a really ordinary job in very ordinary circumstances and working shift work as well. And God comes to them and he says, I'm going to bring to you this day one who delivers his people. Now, these are good Jewish boys. These are not Gentiles. These are not heathens. These are good Jewish boys. They understand that Messiah is destined to come. They're looking forward to Messiah bringing order back into the world. And the angels simply come and say, Savior, Christ, Lord. So one who delivers his people, his people. The word Lord is a term for deity. It talks about God. Christ, as we know, is the Greek word of the Hebrew word Messiah or Mashiach, which means the anointed one. Friends, you and I desperately need a Savior, don't we? And there's people in our community, there's people in our sphere of influence who desperately need a Savior, desperately need one who delivers his people. And the angel in Matthew chapter 1 says to Joseph, give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why Christ came, to be a Savior to all and to everyone who will turn to him. Not only that, friends, he's to become the Lord or ruler of the whole universe. Friends, today he's the Lord of heaven. One day, the Bible promises he's going to return and set up his kingdom again on earth. I don't know about you, but that brings great joy into my heart. Knowing that when he returns, the Bible says that the sound of the trumpet, of the parting of the clouds, will be caught up in the air to be with him. Joy. Exceedingly great joy. Are you with me today? Can I at least have a smile when we talk about joy? Because I have a joy in my heart knowing that my God sent his son Jesus to live a life that was so like me. That he was tested. He was tried. He grew up with, you know, scum knees and sore elbows and, you know, blood blisters under his thumbnail and all those sort of things that you and I go through. Young human being like you and I, he went through everything that you and I go through so that when we turn to him, he can truly say, I know. I know. He understands pain. He understands rejection. He understands what it means to be cut off from society. He knows what it means to have blood run out of your wounds when you're wounded. He knows what joy is when he turns to his Father and looks into his Father's eyes. Because the joy of the Lord is his strength as much as it's your and my strength. Joy to the world, the Bible says. Between now and then, between now and the second coming of the King of Kings, you and I are called to make him Lord of our lives on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing Christians walk around with their heads down and a sullen look on their face, and oh, it looks like they suck on sour lemons for breakfast, lunch and dinner. But don't you think that knowing the Lord should bring joy into your heart every day? That when you wake up and rejoice, this is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is a new day. The Bible goes and says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. We're talking about the day that the Lord has made. Every day, he makes a new day. His favor, his blessings, his faithfulness, his love, his provision, his deliverance, his understanding, his love, his peace, his wisdom, his knowledge, his everything is available to every born-again believer every day, fresh, fresher than the freshest milk you can get delivered to your house. And you don't get it delivered to your house anymore. It's fresh. And God comes to earth through those simple shepherds and he says, I've got great news which will bring to you great joy. For unto you, who us? You can imagine their response, can't you? Who us? We need a Savior. We need a Lord. We need the Christos, the Anointed One, and his anointing in our lives. We're shepherds, look at us. I find it really interesting that when you read on through the text, when the Magi come to visit Herod, Herod consults all his theologians about this Savior. Now these are theologians because they know stuff. How many know that theologians know stuff? That's their job. Have you ever thought about the fact that when they announce to Herod the king that they've done their research and they know about this Savior who was born, and he's going to be born in this little town called Bethlehem, the city of David, have you noticed that not one of them gets out of their seat, leaves their theological study, and goes to see Jesus? The greatest day in history. And they can't put their iPad down for 5 minutes and let Mr. Google catch up on information. They can't bow before the king and say, King, we're going to follow these guys. We've got to see this Savior. Or even more serious, Herod, you need to be warned. If he is the one, then you're in trouble, fella. We're going to do some spying. We're going to do some checking out. But God sends the angels to talk to the shepherds. The shepherds go to see the beautiful Son of God in that manger, in that lowly position. And later on, the wise men on their trip from the east come and they follow the star. And they come to Herod and they say, you know, we're going to see him. And Herod goes, do you know where he is? And they go, yeah, we do. And they head off and the Bible says, and they worship him. Heathen. Stargazing, crystal licking, tree hugging, horoscope men, come to the place where Jesus is and worship him. I get a message out of that. The joy that Christ brings to this world is not limited to the four walls of his church. But the greatest, the most influential, down to the most lowliest, the most poorest of people, God sent his Son for. What joy. What joy knowing that God so loved the world. Not the church, but he loved the world. That he sends his son Jesus. That whosoever, whether you be a shepherd, whether you be a theologian in the king's palace, whether you be the king himself or some religious leader, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish. That brings joy to my heart just in that. But have everlasting life. Are you in for everlasting life? Great joy has come into your life in the form of Jesus, Savior, Lord, Christ. He came for you. For you. Dr. Luke writes this record of what was said to the angels. And the "for you" was not just limited to the angels, because the passage says it all. And this will be a sign to you, verse 12, by which you will recognize him. You will find him, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men, with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor." Peace on earth. God's plan to bring joy, that the Christ has come. To bring peace. You know, nothing flows better in your life than when peace is operating in your heart. That peace that only God can bring. Came for you. Do you believe that this morning? That Jesus came for you. Today is Christmas. Families, friends, associates, neighbors, streets gather together around tables, around trees, wherever, gather and open their presents. There's excited children probably running up and down your street today because they've got presents. When you receive your gifts for Christmas, what will you do with them? Put them aside? Put them in a cupboard for next year? Perhaps put them on a coffee table ready for tomorrow? Will you and I not open the presents we're given? What good is a gift if it's never opened? 2,000 plus years ago, God sent a gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Jesus, friend, is God's gift for you. God's gift to you. But you'll never experience Christmas joy until you personally receive God's gift for Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I close with these words that the angels again said to the shepherds: "Fear not." Simple words, aren't they? But there's some people that actually fear what it will cost them to put aside their old life and take on the life of Christ. What were the shepherds thinking when that angel appeared? What were they saying amongst themselves? Were they simply frozen with fear? He chose us to go for a message to them about Messiah. Who's going to listen to us? Fear not. What a great word from God today. But behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. What is that source of joy? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. We sing that song, Joy to the World. The Lord is come. What is it? Joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord is come. He's here. He's right here in this place. He's right here in your heart if you're a born-again believer. With him comes the joy of knowing him. With that comes with the joy knowing that knowing him brings you strength, brings you wisdom, brings you everlasting life, brings you strength, wisdom, hope, future. All those things we talk about, that brings joy. Joy is not a boxed-up gift that needs to remain boxed up. I believe 2018 is going to be a year where joy is unspeakable and it just overflows out of you long before you open your mouth. I prophesy over this house and for our visitors here today that as you push in, as you snuggle into the Lord, as you deepen yourself in a relationship with him, that the joy of the Lord will be your strength in any situation you face from 2018 until Jesus returns. Let's express joy to our neighbors. Let's express joy to the people we do business with. Let's express joy to our members of our family who don't yet know Christ. Let's not be those Christians that go around like there's no hope, there's no future, there's no life for tomorrow. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen.